Well, as we all know, December is past. 2019 is past. The second decade of this century has passed. It now stands before us a new year. No doubt, within our own minds and our own thinking, we have already begun to put our thoughts together as to what this new year will bring for us. We have already made resolutions in our lives of things we want to accomplish, things we want to change. We have set goals that we want to reach this year. We have made plans that we are developing each day for things that we would like to see happen in our lives. And you know, it's a refreshing thing to have an opportunity to really make things new. You know, we get excited when we buy a new house. We get excited when we buy a new car. We may even get excited when we go to the store to buy new clothes. Because it's something new. It is something different. The new life in this year may bring us new challenges. It may bring us new opportunities. It's a future that, for the most part, is unforeseen. But we do have in mind some things that we would like to see happen. And one of the best things about the new year is that we can put the old behind us. We can put behind us all of the failures that we made last year. We can put behind us all of the disappointments that we had. And we can put behind us the hardships that fell before us. And we can look to the new year with a renewed zeal, a great hope, a greater determination that this year indeed can be better than last year. As God's children, we need to be reminded that our God is a God of new things. In fact, every morning when we rise from our bed, we face a new day. Not just on January 1st where we face a new year, but we face a new day every day. God gives us new things in our lives. For today's lesson, I would like for us to take a look at some of the new things that come from the God of heaven. Things that we may not really think about in our lives as we're thinking about new things coming up in the year 2020. But things that God has given to us that we renew within ourselves every day that we live. The first one is the new commandment. And I am referring to John chapter 13 and verse 34. Jesus is telling His disciples about a new commandment. And He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Now, when Jesus made this statement in John chapter 13, love was nothing new. Love began in the Garden of Eden with Adam and with Eve. And it has continued with humanity from that day forward. So, you know, it may have been with puzzled minds that the disciple says, "What? You mean you're telling me something that is new? This isn't new. I have loved all of my life." But you know, the new thing was not love that Jesus is telling them here in this passage of Scripture. Jesus knows that love is nothing new. But what He is about to say, or what He has said, and the way He said it, gives us something new. The disciples were to love one another as Jesus had loved them. And this was something new. For you see, the world had never encountered the quality, the level of love that Christ has offered to mankind. Now we may say, "I love you to the greatest length, to the greatest breadth, to the greatest height of life." And we may tell someone, "I love you that much." But we have never encountered love the way Christ loved us. You see, the love of Jesus was the perfect example of love. In the Greek, it is called agape love. Now, the Greek word agape describes the highest form of love known to mankind. Now, in the Greek, there are four different words for the word love. We only have one. So we have to decipher words when we use the word love. We have to decipher that word. What level of love are you talking about? This level, we know what God is talking about and what Jesus meant when He said love. If you're going to love like me, you're going to have this agape love, this highest level possible love. You see, Christ's love was sacrificial from beginning to end. Christ's love was genuine. Christ's love was impartial. It went for everyone. It extended beyond the borders of culture. It extended beyond the borders of race. Jesus loved all people and put their needs far above His own. The command to love has now exalted to a divine level. We are to have that kind of love within us. As Jesus loved, so we are to love one another. That was the new commandment. We have something else new. We have the New Testament. Well, you know, you and I were born under this testament, weren't we? And so were people 2,000 years back. But it is a new testament just the same. In fact, this new testament or this covenant that we live under today was predicted long before it arrived in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. Jeremiah wrote, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And Jesus also spoke of this very same new covenant on the night that He instituted the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 26, verses 27 and 28. It says that He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins." This is brand new. It is going to be a new covenant. It is going to be a new law. And it will be put into place at the death of the testator of the old law. And we read this in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 15. The Hebrew writer tells us, "For this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who were called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there is also the necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives." At Christ's death, the Old Testament ended. The old law came to an end. The new law is for us today. And it involves all men. And it wasn't just for the Jews. It was for all men. It involves the one single perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It involved the complete removal of sins and transgressions. And it had to come from Christ because He was the only one who could do it. This covenant contains far better promises than it was given to us under the old one. It gives us the forgiveness of our sins, which is something the old law could not do. It offers us eternal life. This is coming from Jesus. It is a privilege and a blessing for us today to live under this New Testament that was given to us by Jesus Christ. And when we woke up on January the 1st, we were under the New Testament and have been for a long time. But it is still new. It is still in force. And it will last till the end of time. We are also have the benefits of having a new and living way. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20 tells us a new and living way. that enables us to enter into the Holy of Holies. The most holy place under the old law was the place where God dwells. In the Old Testament, only the high priest had access to this place, and they only had access to it on one time each year. We can read of this in Exodus chapter 30 and Leviticus chapter 16. Now, the holy place for us, of course, is heaven, and it is open to all of us. All of us who will live for Christ. All of us who will live according to His will and obey His will. We have access to this new and living way. You know, because Jesus is our high priest, every Christian can draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10, verse 22. And each one of us should rejoice when we enter into our closets to pray. Rejoice for this new and living way that we have in our life. Because through Jesus, we have a spiritual pathway to walk. We have a better direction to follow. And it will lead us to that most holy place, the home of the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. It is a new way. The new and living way. There are still some other things that are new that are yet to come. And one of these is the new heaven and the new earth. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, Peter says that the faithful of God are actually looking for two things. Number one, they're looking for the coming of the day of God. And number two, they are looking for the new heavens and the new earth. And listen to Peter's own words beginning in verse 12. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, many people have taken this passage of Scripture and just run rampant with it and given it all types of false meanings, false understandings that are being taught today in religious groups. Some believe that the present heaven and earth are simply going to be purged of evil, and that it is going to become our new home. And this is where we will dwell, even here, without evil and without sin. Some believe that these new heavens and earth will be here and will now be the dwelling place when God makes everything brand new. This theory tells us that the present heaven and earth will not be destroyed. But if you go back and read what we have just read, the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire. Elements will melt with fervent heat. All that we see, all that we know, all that we understand about the heavens and the earth will be gone. And everything will be brand new. 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11. The heavens will pass away. The elements will melt. That means it's going to perish. Not only that, it's going to liquefy. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up, completely, wholly consumed. And all things will be dissolved, completely annihilated. The new place is a prepared place. You know, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus says, I'm going to make this place for you. I'm not going to burn the old one up and redo it. I'm going to give you something new, something brand new, something that has never been seen before, something that has never been used before. John in Revelation 21 and verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth, were passed away. It is gone. Where we stand, sit, and live today will be gone. At least if John is being honest with us, and if Peter is being honest with us. This new heaven and new earth will contain the new Jerusalem. In Revelation 21 and verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This beautiful city is those will be there who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21, 27. It is going to be a life of perfection. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. It's going to be brand new. It's not going to be rebuilt. It's not going to be burned so it can start over. You know, many times in the fall, farmers will burn their fields. Some people at home will even burn their yard so they can start afresh with something. It'll start a new growth in the spring. This isn't what this is talking about. This is talking about from scratch, like He did in the beginning. God created. God is going to create again for us. It is not going to be used. It is going to be a place where we can walk the street of gold. It is going to be a place where we can enjoy the pure river of water of life. It is going to be a place where we can look up at the tree of life. There is going to be a fruit tree there that bears 12 manner of fruit. And the redeemed will see the face of their Lord and will be with Him. And He will be their God. Nothing defiles. There will be nothing that is abominable. There will be no lie. Everything will be in perfection. And you and I, my friends, we want to be there. We want to be a part of that. Peter said, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promises, look for new heavens and a new earth, which righteousness dwells." Then we become a new creature. God has given every one of us the ability to become a new creature. The old man of sin has been cast aside. In Christ, we become brand new. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things or become new." The key to this is Christ. The only way we can accomplish this is to be in Christ. And Paul reveals to us how we get into Christ. Galatians 3, verse 27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." It is the only way. It is the act by which we follow Jesus' death to the cross. Y'all have seen this picture many times because I show it many times. It is the reenactment of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you can see the man of God, Jesus Himself, going to the cross, going to the tomb, coming forth from the tomb. And then you see man himself dying to sin, going and buried into water and coming up out of the water, the new creature in Christ. There's the key, in Christ. That's how we become the new creature. And we can practice that new commandment. We can live under that new testament. And we can utilize the new and living way that we now have because we are in Christ. And the saved will ring out the expansion of the kingdom when we do. Isn't that a wonderful thought? To know that all things are made new. To know that it's more than just a thought. It's a promise. It is a guarantee from God, who Paul said cannot lie. And it is for you and for me. Oh, what a wonderful thing we have to have all things new in Jesus Christ. So this morning, my friend, if you are not a Christian, you can have this promise. All things can become new with you if you will only give your life to the Lord today. Through the faith that you have in God, change your life through repentance of sin. Confess Jesus as His Son. Be buried with Him in baptism. Walk up out of that grave a new creature, new in Christ, and live for Him. And Christian, if you have failed, if you have went back into the world, if you have slipped and fallen short of God's glory, God has made it possible for you to return to Him. Confess your faults one to another. We will pray with you and for you that God will forgive you. As James says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Some versions say there is much power. And it is. It is so much power when we pray to God and He answers. God is looking to make you new, my friends. Let God make you new. Today, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing.